Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, whatever the time, when, and where you are. This is Zach, and you're listening to Reads on the Bitcoin Well podcast. Bitcoin has hit a local high of 72,000 USD as of the time of this recording. Actually, make that 73,000. And that's during a geopolitical madness going on with Iran and the US. We're literally seeing Bitcoin become the preferred global currency as Iran demands tolls be paid in Bitcoin and multiple countries begin preferring Bitcoin for global settlement. In times of uncertainty and global unrest, Bitcoin will rise as the neutral money all nations can use at a moment's notice that no other government can control or shut down. I don't think people understand how big this is and how fast we will see Bitcoin become adopted by every country on Earth, and that's not hyperbole. Now, all of this connects to our topic today, which is all about how to break away from the imagined hold government has on us, specifically our ability to help our neighbors and communities. You see, one of the most insidious things about government is it trains us to externalize our will and agency to other people. If government is already taking our money and taxes to help the poor and the needy, why should we do anything? It puts a someone else's problem bubble around all of these real and local issues in which we could actually be making a difference. Well, today's piece is all about how we can regain that bit of self-actualization that we lost along the way and learn to lean on and help the people next to us instead of looking up to a bureaucrat to solve our problems. It's also about why that instinct, as ancient and human as it is, keeps running into a wall, and why for the first time in a long time, we might actually have the tools to tear that wall down. So let's step out of the propaganda and noise and relax into some knowledge and understanding. As always, please email me at z.adair@bitcoinwell.com. That's z.adair@bitcoinwell.com with any thoughts or questions you might have. And without further ado, let's jump in. The architecture of solidarity, how Bitcoin revives the lost art of mutual aid, by Zachary Adair. You've been lied to about what charity actually is. When a crisis hits, whether it's a flood, a fire, or a medical emergency, we are trained to look up. We wait for the government agency to arrive. We wait for the large NGO to coordinate relief, or we wait for some wealthy benefactor to swoop in and save the day. This is vertical charity. It's a hierarchy dressed up as compassion. It is dependence masquerading as care. But here's the thing. This is not how humans actually survive for most of our history. Our species did not claw its way out of the dirt because some central authority decided to benevolently distribute resources from on high. We survived through horizontal cooperation, through neighbors helping neighbors, through reciprocal support networks built on the radical idea that I help you today because I might need your help tomorrow. This is mutual aid, and it is the opposite of charity, the forgotten power of cooperation. Let me introduce you to Peter Kropotkin. Yes, I know Russian names, bear with me. Kropotkin was a 19th century naturalist who spent years observing how species actually survived in the wild. What he discovered demolished the crude survival of the fittest narrative we've been fed. You see, the species that thrived were not the ones that competed most ruthlessly. They were the ones that cooperated most effectively. Mutual aid is not some hippie fantasy. It's a biological imperative. Think about barn raisings. Think about friendly societies. Think about the localized safety nets that existed before the modern welfare state systematically dismantled them and replaced voluntary cooperation with mandatory dependence. These networks did not just fade away naturally. They were crowded out deliberately. Why the state hates horizontal power. The rise of the modern welfare state did something insidious. It turned active community participants into passive recipients of government aid. By centralizing care through taxation and bureaucracy, the state atomized communities. It broke the bonds of local solidarity that once made them resilient. And this was not an accident. Centralized power prefers isolated individuals who are dependent on the center. Strong communities that are interdependent on each other, that is a threat. Horizontal power challenges vertical authority. Always has, always will. The problem with building mutual aid on fiat rails. So let's say you want to revive mutual aid. You want to build parallel structures of support outside the state. You want to help your neighbor, your community, a stranger halfway across the world who's being oppressed by their government. Here's the problem. You cannot do it without traditional finance. And traditional finance is inherently hierarchical. To send money to someone in need, you must pass through gatekeepers, banks, payment processors, platforms like GoFundMe. These intermediaries can, and frequently do, censor transactions based on political pressure. Remember the Canadian trucker protests? The government froze bank accounts. GoFundMe shut down the fundraiser. People who wanted to stand in solidarity with the truckers were cut off from the financial system. You can't build resilient mutual aid networks on fragile, censorable financial rails. It's like trying to build a fortress out of wet cardboard. Bitcoin, money built for mutual aid. This is where Bitcoin enters the picture. And no, this is not just me shilling my favorite asset. Stay with me. Bitcoin is the technological realization of mutual aid principles. For one, it's horizontal and peer-to-peer. Just as mutual aid connects neighbor to neighbor without a government bureaucrat standing in the middle, Bitcoin connects sender to receiver without a bank in the middle. It is money designed for horizontal collaboration. It is the barn raising, but for the digital age. Two, it's permissionless and uncensorable. True mutual aid does not ask for permission to care for a community member. You don't fill out a form in triplicate to help your neighbor rebuild after a fire. Yet using fiat currency requires the permission of a banking intermediary. Bitcoin restores the right to support whomever you choose, whenever you choose. It ensures that aid can reach marginalized groups, dissidents, disaster victims, and even especially when the state or banking system is hostile to them. And three, it's good at scaling trust globally. Historically, mutual aid was limited by geography. You had to know and trust the people in your physical community. Bitcoin allows mutual aid to scale globally. A person in Tokyo can stand in financial solidarity with a community in Venezuela instantly, without needing to trust a long chain of corruptible middlemen. The trust is placed in the mathematical certainty of the network's protocol. This enables cooperation between strangers in a way that was literally impossible before, rebuilding the muscles of community reliance. Here's the uncomfortable truth. The existing systems are going to fail. Some would argue they already have. We need to build alternative structures now. We need to relearn the muscles of community reliance before we are forced to improvise in the middle of a crisis. The impulse for mutual aid is ancient, and it is hardwired into us, but our tools have evolved. We no longer need to rely solely on physical barter or cash hidden under mattresses to support one another. By adopting Bitcoin, communities can construct indestructible financial safety nets that reflect the core values of Kropotkin's vision: voluntary association, decentralization, and resilience against coercion. Bitcoin is not just about number go up, though I won't pretend that's not a nice feature. It is the essential infrastructure for a future where we depend less on the state and more on each other. It is the financial rail for a world where charity is replaced by solidarity, where vertical control is replaced by horizontal cooperation, and where the instinct to care for one another is not subject to the veto of a central authority. Mutual aid isn't dead. It's just waiting for the right tools to bring it back to life.